season of Lent. And so today, our closing hymn, we say goodbye to Alleluia for the 40 days of the Lenten season. A couple of other notes to highlight. Lent does begin this Wednesday with Ash Wednesday, 10:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. services here with the imposition of ashes for those who desire it. Cottage meeting sign-up sheets out in the narthex as well, and posters and other info out there for the entirety of the services for Holy Week. In our prayers today, we will also remember Jonas Bramwell, son of Pastor Ty Bramwell. He's been here for our summer class, was just diagnosed with lymphoma. And so as treatment for that begins, we remember him in our prayers. The service is before you. We open with the hymn and the procession. Let us sing. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 9th chapter. Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face was altered and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were talking with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and those who were with him were heavy with sleep, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. And as the men were parting from him, Peter said to Jesus, Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah, not knowing what he said. As he was saying these things, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, This is my Son, my chosen one, listen to him. And when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silent and told no one in those days anything of what they had seen. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please be seated. The transfiguration of our Lord is a little bit like a movie trailer. A good movie trailer reveals just enough of the plot to make you want to see it without giving away too much. Coming soon, a sneak peek. And that's what the transfiguration of our Lord is. It's a sneak peek, it's a glimpse of Jesus' glory as the Son of God and the coming of the kingdom that he brings with his dying and rising. Jesus told his disciples, I tell you truly, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God. And then they had a whole week to think about it and wonder what he meant. Who was he talking about? And when? And where? And what will happen? What will they see? So many questions. And so St. Luke's words today, he says that these events happened about 8 days later. 8 days. That's new creation talk. So what happens here is a multi-layer event, and among them are the resurrection and the new creation that comes in Jesus. So about 8 days after saying that some of them would not taste death until they saw the kingdom of God, Jesus went up on a mountain to pray with Peter and John and James. These three are given a unique gift to see Jesus in his glory before his death, before his resurrection and ascension. And so while Jesus is praying, and in St. Luke's gospel, Jesus always prays at key moments in his ministry, his face was changed in appearance, his clothing became dazzling white. It's an epiphany, a manifestation. Jesus' divinity shone through his humanity, causing his face and his clothes to glow as bright as lightning. It's a visual reminder that while Jesus certainly was man, he was no ordinary man. He is also God from God, light from light, very God from very God. Though deeply hidden beneath his humanity, Jesus' divine nature and his glory as the Son of God were there, just hidden from the eye. In the book of Exodus, Moses glowed when he came down from Mount Sinai after God passed by him. Moses, though, was like a glow-in-the-dark toy. You shine the light on it for a while and it glows, but it always fades. So with Moses, that was a temporary, it was a fading glory. But Jesus' glow came from within himself as his whole humanity glowed with the glory of God. This was the glory that filled the tabernacle and the temple. This was the glory of the pillar of smoke and fire that led Israel from Egypt. This was the sign that God himself was present on the mountain. And this was the Lord's mountain, the mountain of which Isaiah had spoken, the mountain where God would reveal his glory to the nations, and the nations would then flock to the Lord. Moses and Elijah appear as well. Elijah, if you remember, had been whisked off to heaven in a whirlwind. Moses had been buried by God himself in Moab. And these two then represent the Torah and the prophets. The Torah had come through Moses on Sinai, and Elijah was the first and the foremost of the prophets. And here they appear together with the glorified Jesus. Jesus had come to fulfill Moses. He had come to fulfill the prophets. And so Moses and Elijah, they are what we call types. They pointed to Jesus. But now the fulfillment of all of their pointing is standing there in his glory, and they in glory with him. It's a sneak preview of the resurrection, when those long dead will live, risen, in Jesus' glory. St. Luke says that they were talking with Jesus about his departure, which he was about to accomplish in Jerusalem. And the word Luke uses there is exodus. They were talking about Jesus' exodus. And who better to talk about an exodus than Moses? So St. Luke anchors this vision in Jesus' death on a cross and his resurrection from the dead and his ascension 40 days later. This is Jesus' exodus, by which he brings all of humanity through death and into life and into glory. And the transfiguration is a preparation for all of that. This Jesus who shines like the sun, who radiates the glory of God on earth, is the same Jesus who hangs dead in the darkness on Good Friday, bearing the sin of the world. And so you've got to make that connection between the mountain of transfiguration that proclaims Jesus, the Son of God, and Golgotha, the mountain of his cross that proclaims him Savior of the world. And Peter and John and James almost miss the whole thing. St. Luke is kind when he says they were heavy with sleep. And those same three would be heavy with sleep on the Mount of Olives when Jesus asked them to pray in Gethsemane. So they had just hiked up a mountain, and Jesus was off praying. course it's time for a nap. You ever doze off while praying? Sure you do. We all doze in prayer, doze in worship, and yes, sometimes even in the middle of a sermon. That's a spiritual lethargy at work. Your sleepiness and deadness to God's word and prayer. Because it seems that every time Jesus asks Peter and James and John to pray with him, they wind up falling asleep. So you are certainly not going to enter into the kingdom of glory by way of your prayers, especially if these three can't pull it off in the presence of the living God. So when they wake up, they get an eyeful. Jesus is glowing, Moses and Elijah are standing there with him, and that'll wake you up in a hurry. Peter blurts out, "Master, it's good that we're here," meaning it's good that we're here to see all of this. And so he tries to capture the moment. He wants to savor the experience with the three tents. It's almost like he pulls out his phone and says, "Hey, can I take a selfie, Jesus? Can we take, huh?" We do it too. You want to preserve that religious moment, that ecstatic experience. You want to hang on to the feeling. You want to hang on to the vision. You want to memorialize the mountaintop. You want to make that moment the normative thing. It's almost like we're junkies for a religious experience. But St. Luke says that Peter didn't know what he was talking about. Whether it was fear or the sleep or whatever it was, visions like this defy words and our ability to fully comprehend them. So just in time, the cloud comes. The cloud that once filled the temple, and it surrounds them. And the cloud conceals the glory, and the voice of the Father preached from the cloud, "This is my Son, my chosen one. Listen to him." The same voice was heard speaking from heaven at Jesus' baptism, identifying him as the suffering servant son. So again, the Father speaks, making it clear to the disciples and to us that Jesus is unique, that there is none like him. He's greater than Moses. He is greater than Elijah. He is greater than any religious man or guru or prophet or leader who's ever walked the face of the earth. He alone makes the exodus of his death and resurrection to save you. He alone has a baptism that can wash away the stain of your sin. He alone can give you his body and blood to eat and drink as bread and wine. He alone has the words of eternal life. Moses can't save you. Moses' words and commandments can't save you. Elijah can't save you. Only Jesus. And so St. Peter recalled that mountaintop experience years later when he wrote, "For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. When he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, 'This is my beloved Son,' we ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on that holy mountain." St. Peter was an eyewitness. He saw and testified to these things, as did St. John, who wrote later, "We have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son of the Father." But as great as that vision was, the glory and the cloud and the voice and Moses and Elijah, Saints Peter and John would direct your attention to something more certain. The Word, the prophetic Word that shines like a lamp in the darkest recesses of your heart. Because visions don't create faith. Visions don't turn the heart. Visions don't forgive sin or raise the dead. A bright, shining Jesus might be a spectacular sight, but it's the Word that brings you forgiveness and life and salvation. And you here have His Word in all of its glorious forms, in baptism, in supper, in preaching. And with His Word, you have His glory. As our Lord says, listen to Him. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.